for the past 9 classes, and including this one, whether we have said it or not, each class has been turned over to divine consciousness. The purpose is to instill in you a habit of turning over your day to divine consciousness before you move out into living that day. We'll do it again right now because it is very urgent at all times that you live from that center which lets the Father go before you. And if this is not your present habit, you'll discover that many delightful surprises are in store for you when it becomes your habit. We release human thought. We rest in the Father. We have no instructions to give the Father. We are not asking, beseeching, seeking, wanting, needing, or desiring. We are resting in the Father, without thought, at peace. And this is like recharging your battery. This is like having a roadmap drawn by the infinite mind for the day, not only for the day that you see with your eyes, but for the eternal day in which you live. Just these few minutes, and all of the world mind reflex controls are shattered, and in their place comes the beautiful grace of the Father. Then I go before you, and before you arrive, the crooked places are actually straight. This is truly a way of life, not an exercise. And while you're doing it, you may as well learn another exercise which will help you turn yourself over to divine consciousness. Just let your conscious thought run up in your head high. And as you drop your thought, keep your attention high in your head, and then just draw it back in your head, high and back, and just rest there. Easily. So that you're not below the eyes. It may seem you're way above them, but actually you can't rise too much above them. If you shoot higher and backwards, you'll come to the point where you're right between the eyes. You're in that inner cathedral. And this is really where you're going to meet the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there, not in holy temples, not in Jerusalem, not in the mountains, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, when you've made your decision that being Christ, being the vine which is one with infinity, is the only way to show forth divine fruit, the next step automatically falls into place. It couldn't until you made your decision. The next step is obviously you must have the Christ mind. And that's how you are the vine. That's how you are the Christ. If you look at a person and just stare at that person in your mind for a minute, what are they actually? Can the arm do anything, or the leg, or the body itself? Nothing about the person can do anything. It's really some kind of appearance around a brain. Everything is there around a brain. The brain is what's doing everything. That's all that's there. And when you know that isn't there, you've lost the person altogether. It's so with the Christ mind. This is the focal center of your Christ body. It isn't in a one place, it's an infinite mind. The important part about the Christ mind is that it makes the rest of your universe work. It's the place where you know God's will. It's the place where you perform God's will. It's the place where you live in the consciousness of God, expressing the consciousness of God, manifesting the consciousness of God. Your Christ mind is the nucleus of your Christ life. And your Christ mind is that mind which refuses to accept the reality or the presence of that which your Father, Infinity, did not create. Christ consciousness is the capacity to live in the Father's creation and not in the world. You already have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. The same mind that spoke and said, I am the vine, I am the way, I am the resurrection, I am the life. This is your mind. And you have been living with a false concept called mind. A mind that perishes. Your permanent mind is the Christ mind, ever present. Have ye, that mind means, do not allow yourself to be double-minded. Do not live in that mind which cannot know God or God's creation. And in order to experience that mind, you turn your day over to divine consciousness. And as you realize the importance of this and do it more frequently, you'll be doing divinely ordained acts. Now, we have many danger zones, many pitfalls, many places where we fall out of grace, perhaps unknowingly, until something quite severe makes us realize it. And I'd like you to face those potential pitfalls, to be aware that they exist. You'll notice that each time we meet, the pitfalls get a little more difficult because we're past the point of the simple ones. We're into those great ways of life that are necessary for you to uphold the purity of the Christ mind. And now we would like to set up maybe 12, just like Joshua had his 12 trials and Jesus had his 12 disciples, and the psalmist had the 12 steps of initiation concealed in his story of the God is my shepherd. Let us take our 12 danger zones and see where we become prodigal in mind, how we depart unwillingly and unknowingly from the Father's house. The first one I put down is this. The first danger zone is the belief that God created matter. That must permeate your consciousness because the Christ mind does not accept matter as the creation of God. There's no way we can doubt that. The Bible is full of that statement, that flesh is grass, flesh withereth, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and so forth. To be Christ, you must live in that mind which does not accept matter as the creation of God. You can appreciate the birds and their sweet chirping, but you don't go to the point of pinning a label on that as God's creation. This is an imitation, and the original is quite different. That used to be so shocking to us, but it isn't anymore. We have been malpracticing God and malpracticing ourselves, malpracticing Christ, malpracticing our neighbor, even malpracticing the bird. All that can be present is the Spirit of God. And that which is not the Spirit of God is our mental misperception. And though it happens that way in the fourth world of material sense, we know that we must, in the Christ mind, accept it a different way than man does. Only the Christ mind can bring you the light of God. And so your first requirement, if you have committed yourself to living in Christ as Christ, and therefore to having the Christ mind, is to constantly be on the alert and to be practicing the knowledge that matter, neither good matter nor bad matter, is the creation of God, and that matter is that creation of the false world mind, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil matter. Now, every time you violate that truth, consciously or otherwise, you're going to run up your score of karmic debts, and instead of saying to the Father, forgive us our debts, you'll be running up a higher level of debts. For these are the debts. Every time you digress into the belief that matter is real, you are laying up debts instead of treasures. And so if you're looking for something to meditate upon, which we won't do at this moment, that's it. And in fact, I think every one of these 12 steps will merit your constant meditation. Put down a note here from Joel's book, The Infinite Way, which I think applies to this first step. And it also serves a double purpose because it contains one of the few, it's a sentence that contains the word initiate in one of the few times used by Joel, but revealing to you that he was well aware that what he was doing was opening you and preparing you for your initiation. You'll find it on page 177. A tremendous movement is taking place as the initiate discovers the difference between physical harmony and spiritual harmony. Wholeness. I'll read it again. A tremendous movement is taking place as the initiate discovers the difference between physical harmony and spiritual wholeness. Physical harmony is not spiritual wholeness. Why? Because God did not create physical harmony. God did not create the physical structure. That which can also be inharmonious is not a creation of God. How can one inharmonious physical structure not be the creation and another physically harmonious structure be the creation? You see the point, the deception of the belief that physical structure is of God. And so when you know that physical harmony and spiritual wholeness are not one and the same, that spiritual wholeness is the tree of life and physical harmony is still the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as Joel says, there is a tremendous happening in your consciousness. Also, and I'm bringing Joel into the work now in a greater way at this point, because I want you to see clearly that there isn't a single word of thought or idea expressed during this class that hasn't emanated from his teaching to us. He is the background of everything that we're doing. Without Joel, there would not be this class. And many others like it all over the world. And when I say Joel, you know that I'm talking about the Christ, which we call Joel. On page 91 of The Infinite Way, unillumined thought beholds the universe as material. That's unillumined thought. But illumined thought, illumined consciousness, or soul sense, and here he's equating soul sense and illumined consciousness. So you could call it soul consciousness. It sees and understands the universe as spiritual. The Christ mind and your soul sense at this point can be considered one and the same. Although later, as your soul moves from the fifth world into oneness with spirit, into the sixth, and then into the seventh, your Christ mind replaces your soul in the sense of being the faculty that you use. They are all then homogenized as one infinite faculty. Quite a difference from five finite senses. And so I am pointing out here the parallel between these 12 danger zones and the teaching that we have all been studying these many years. Now, I hate to go from that to the next one, because I'd like to spend about 6 months working it over with you. There is no material world. And it takes that. It takes that intensive day in and day out awareness that matter isn't there. Something else is. But we have to move on. The second point is that we are seeking the fruits. We're not seeking the giver of the fruits. And that is a mistake. You can't seek the manifestation, you must seek the manifestor. There's no way to attain the fruits of the Spirit without God. You can't start on the wrong end. You've got to turn yourself over to the source. And I know if you make a hasty inventory of your usual way of thinking, many times you reach out for the fruits. You look for them and you anticipate them, as if there could be apples without an apple tree. We must immerse ourselves in the source And that's the point of the mystical tree. The Christ mind is your connection to Source. And then Source flowing through the Christ mind reveals that which we call the fruits. And so don't make the mistake of seeking the fruit. It won't work. Seek the giver. Seek the one creator. Rest in the presence of the one creator, and the fruits will flow. I think this handy checklist is going to be very useful to you if you use it. And the way I would use it is the way I've been using it. Work with it assiduously. Work one over until it's almost you without you even thinking about it. And you just find that you set up a whole new system of habits. Instead of reacting one way, you react another way. You just work with it and work with it until you never make the mistake of seeking the fruits. Why go to the finite human world for anything? When I go to my Father within and rest in the Christ mind, which knows that I am one with the Father, I have the eternal giver of all. All that he has is mine. The fruits are in my divine consciousness. I rest there and let infinity unfold as the fruits of Christ consciousness. That has to be the way you will handle anything that comes up in your life, rather than dwelling in the external effects. And now you'll begin to get more substance in your fruitage. On page 163 in The Infinite Way, go to God as an empty vessel. An empty vessel. Not saying, give me this and give me that, or I need this or I want that, or this has come up and now I need your help. That's not an empty vessel. People go to God because they want something. Infinite Way says, go to God not because you want something, but because you want God. Rest in the Father. Go to God as an empty vessel. And that means without demand, without desire, without need, simply to rest there, knowing that the Father's presence, the Father's power, the Father's wisdom flows as you abide in the Christ mind. With all of our great heads filled with, crammed with knowledge, the Christ mind is an empty vessel, and yet it is not empty. It is empty of human thought. It is filled with the flow of the Father. Because it is empty, it does not set up roadblocks. It does not try to tell the Father, come in this direction. I'm really embarrassed so many times when people in this work come to me who have been in it a long, long time and tell me about a big promotion coming up and ask me to work for them. I'm really embarrassed. And even if it were a close friend, I'd be embarrassed. And I do work for them, and I'm still embarrassed. Because we don't want any promotion, we want the Father. That may be the worst thing in the world for a person to have that promotion. They're deciding that's good. We don't decide anything is good, we let the Father decide. And I bring it up to you because I want you to see that you can depend on resting in this inner self. And your life should be lived that way if you want it to be an ordained life. You might get that promotion and inside of 6 months decide that your superior or some arrangement there is horrible. And all the extra money was actually something you'd gladly give back double if you could get back to where you'd been. And meanwhile, you may have missed something that you should have had. Already might be. And we're tying that up with this second point in your own self-initiation, that seek the giver, not the fruits. God is already your very own being. You see how duality seeks something from God instead of realizing that God is my being? That's a very difficult point, because when you raise up to the level of knowing that God is already your being, there's nobody left to ask. It's simply standing in the assurance of who you are. And that is an attribute of the Christ mind. In your third self-initiation step, don't start with you. This is a normal human tendency. Everything starts with you. And it's starting on the left foot instead of the right. You're in motion that way before you have made your commitment to divine consciousness. No, everything starts with God. You see, if you don't begin at source, you're working without source. You can't catch up to source later. That's the first step. That's the crown. You have to begin with source, not come around to it later. Everyone comes around to it later. But you, in your initiation into total enlightenment, begin with source every day. Again, that's why we turn off class over to divine consciousness. But if it weren't a class, we would turn our self over to divine consciousness. Your class begins the moment your eyes open. You rest in the knowledge of divine consciousness is present. Source is present. Wherever I go, source is. Source is always functioning. Source is my being. Source is manifesting. Source already has established the kingdom of God. Just rest and let source reveal itself. As Joel said, let the Father reveal himself in his own way. And I think I left out a word or two that I remember. And in his own measure. In his own way and in his own measure. The quality and the quantity are not your business. Just be grateful as the blessings flow. But you'll hold those blessings back once you start putting a label on them of any kind, and even a desire for them. The point is that God will manifest as that which God feels is needed, not what you feel is needed. Don't put you first or second or third. Start with God, and every time you miss that step, you're going to rue the day in some way, because eventually you'll have to come back to seeing that that's where you made your mistake. You started with you or your child or your mother or your sister or your family in some way. And you forgot to start with God. You begin everything with source, not that which comes next. And that's a very important step, that third step. It's an ingrained habit of centuries of living that we begin everything with me. And it isn't as hard to break as it seems if you are determined to do it and see the value of it. It is very rewarding. Here's Joel. Page 187 of The Infinite Way. God is life. God is love. God is. Nothing else is. Only God is. So when you start with me, you started with that which does not exist. Only God is. In other words, if the you that you start with is the physical self, you're starting in the dream. If the you that you start with is the spirit of God, you have both God and yourself as one. You see, you start out in oneness that way. The self, the spirit, the life of God is your spirit and your life. And the only way you can start with God and yourself at the same time is to start with God's spirit, because that is yourself. The fourth point, and these are the danger zones, is that we are unknowingly, often and very generally, practicing the non-presence of God. Practicing the non-presence of God is the human way of life. Whenever there is a second self that is not the Spirit of God, the life of God, that is the non-presence of God. When you are recognizing others who are not the Spirit of God, you are practicing the non-presence of God. And if you are exposed to all kinds of human infirmities in this world and accept them as reality, you are practicing the non-presence of God. Because you must see that none of this can really exist where God is. Here comes a car, and there's a child. The next second, the child is under the car. You hear the screech of the brakes. And of course, if that happens to be your child, it's even more real. But even if it's someone else's, to the human mind, there's no question about it happening. And that same human mind goes to church on Sunday and believes in God. I say the belief that that automobile has run over a child is an insult to God. Because in the presence of God, if this can happen, why worship that God at all? That's not God. We're worshiping the devil unawares. We're worshiping the non-presence of God, but not aware that we're doing it. If there's a starving child somewhere, and God isn't doing anything about it, I won't worship that God. Would you, if you think of it that way? Who is that? That's the false God of the human mind. Do you think when two armies beat each other to death, that God is standing there and watching and doing nothing about it? I don't want such a God. I'd rather live without a God if that's God. But if God is present and watching this and not doing anything about it, and that can't be God, what have we got? We have no God present. We have two armies killing each other. So either God is present or the armies are there killing each other. You've got to make a choice. Your practical human mind says there are armies killing each other. And one of those is my son. One of them is my husband. And your Christ mind says, not true. Not true. God is omnipresent. You're looking out through your human mind at the material world. The Christ mind is looking at the invisible universe of spirit, where there are no armies and no battlefields. And the Christ mind is not looking at material form. It has cast out all belief in matter being the creation of God, and it has gone a step further. Because matter is not the creation of God, it has not been created. It exists only in that which is not the Christ mind. It exists in the unillumined world mind. And it is your function in self-initiation to prepare yourself for your eternal life on this earth by knowing that the Spirit of God being everywhere, the entire material world is one illusion, regardless of the forms or the activities within it. Oh, I can name people who will say, I just can't do it, and that's all right. Those of us who will do it will demonstrate that God is present, and that where God is present, the one who is aware of that presence can walk through the army, walk through the battlefield, walk through the afflictions untouched. Because spirit is too pure to behold iniquity. In the light there is no darkness. And however difficult this may seem to a human mind, in reverse, those foolish ideas of the human mind seem rather ridiculous to the Christ mind. We live in the light as the Christ mind. We unsee what the world sees. We walk through the appearances that present themselves. We do not accept the absence or the non-presence of a perfect Father. We do not deny that presence by accepting what could not exist where the perfect Father is. Instead, we sow to the Spirit. We accept the presence rather than the visibles which deny the existence of the presence. We do not practice the non-presence of God. As you can see, you can work with that for 6 months and maybe just be beginning. But you've got to penetrate this stubborn human consciousness, which automatically, through sense activity, reacts to the child being run over by the truck and so forth. And as you envelop your consciousness with truth and assist the child to envelop his or her consciousness with truth, you won't have to be concerned about a truck or that sort of thing or an affliction. You'll find that the consciousness of the child will benefit by your consciousness, which will act like an umbrella. And the umbrella of your consciousness will rest over that child until that child picks up that consciousness, him or herself, and is the force over which material forces have no power. We all have the capacity to instill this knowledge in the younger ones. And that's why it's so important for us to get it first ourselves, so that we have something to give. Most people are practicing the non-presence of God. It's normal. It's sense deception. Is unawareness of the presence, and in the presence, in the awareness of the presence, in the knowledge that the presence is always present and everywhere present, we cannot accept the opposite, or the non-presence, or the afflictions which can only happen if the presence is not present. You're accepting invisible presence every minute of every day. Now, if we could retrace, when you turn your consciousness over to divine consciousness and rest there, you have started the ball rolling, which will enable you to fulfill these other steps. You come in cold with an active will to remember that the presence is everywhere. It doesn't work that easily. But when you turn yourself over to divine consciousness, you find the invisible help. It sort of remembers its own presence for you. So you don't have to set up a thermostat inside. It does it for you. And that's why it's important now to start at the beginning with Source, and then I go before you to make those crooked places straight. I will alert you when you are about to practice the non-presence. I will alert you to each of these initiatory within steps. I will give you the wisdom to follow them, to minimize the outer external temptations to believe that I am not present. And then it should strike you that every belief in an external evil is a belief that you are not the Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God that you are is not omnipresent. You finitize yourself the minute you identified an evil anywhere. Where can it be if you are the invisible everywhere Spirit? You see how all of these are going to run together into one pure river of consciousness? When you believe yourself to be a mortal being, you are practicing the non-presence of God. Just by believing in your human sense of life as a person, you are practicing the non-presence of God. I know that's a difficult statement to live with, but it nails down how subtle it is to practice the non-presence of God. If God is all, and I am a mortal, I have just said that God is not present. If God is all, then God is present, and there's no mortal here, because God is not a mortal. Just mortality itself is the belief in the non-presence of God. And that's quite a problem hanging on our shoulders, because we are still under that belief while we're using the words that I am Spirit. If you're saying not me, fine, great. I hope you're saying that. I want you to see how close though it is, and how easy to practice the non-presence and to be aware of it. Here's Joel, page 173, Infinite Way. I have told you the real secret of life. God is not with mortals. Take it from there. And I think I can say we have, Joel. We have taken it from there. Thank you. God is not with mortals. That is the real secret of life. Then where are the mortals? You really don't know any. You think you do. You're looking at the Spirit of God. Joel says on page 31 of The Infinite Way, as we put off the personal ego, and attain the consciousness of our real self, the reality of us, divine consciousness, we attain immortality. And that can be attained here and now. To live in mortality is to deny the presence of God where you are, and to attain immortality is to accept the presence of God where you are. Difficult, but a great challenge, and also a great eye-opener. So difficult and so obscure to most that if it were not pointed out to us, we would go right on in a state of mortality, still thinking that we were honoring the presence of God. You can only honor the presence of God by being your own immortal self. That's part of the fourth self-initiation step of avoiding or watching that danger zone of practicing the non-presence of God. I think they get more difficult. Except for this one. I've called this making your own rules. This is a danger zone. Or, put another way, skipping those principles or rules that you find a little inconvenient. You know, we take the ones we can handle very easily, and we let the difficult ones go by with very good resolution that we'll get to them. But the reason the difficult ones come to your attention is because you need them. And the reason they're difficult is because you have avoided them. That which seems so very difficult at a certain time, if you meet it face to face and lock horns with it, why, in about 3 months, when you look at it again, that's one of the easy ones you want to do instead of another difficult one that you'd rather skip. The mountains are lowered as you ascend in consciousness. And so when you come to something that is difficult and decide to skip it, remember in your self-initiation at this particular point, that's the time to roll up your sleeves and go to work with it and meet it face to face. And I think while talking about that, here's the difficult one that we want to meet face to face. There are many. This is still part of the same self-initiation. And that is living in side of form. As you live inside of form, you are being mortal. You are going to have to react as a mortal. You are going to automatically deny the presence of God who does not live in a form. Remember now, you can't say, but Jesus lived in a form, God lived inside Jesus. No, Jesus was crucified and God was still living. Not in that Jesus form that was crucified. You can't get away with that hedge. That's why the crucifixion is there, to show you that you must not live in a form. Now, that's part of not skipping the ones you consider difficult. Living inside a form is, consciously or unconsciously, rejecting immortality now. And all of this is not possible if you are honoring your Christ mind. It does not live inside a physical form. And that means that 3 months from now, you should be able to say to yourself, you know, when I first realized that I had to not live inside a physical form, I really thought I'd go out of my mind. But now, I really know how to do it to some extent, and I enjoy it. I feel free. I'm free of the problems that I had in the form. I somehow am free of other things that I didn't know were pressuring me. I know that I'm on the right track into something far better than I had when I lived inside a form. And yet I can go inside a form. I can move as if I were inside a form. But I can also come out of the belief that I'm inside a form. The in or out of form is all done in my consciousness. And I have found the way. This is you now, 3 months from now. If you will not skip that which is difficult, you'll find a great release as you struggle with not living inside a form until the clues and the methods all begin to come from your inner knower. Remember, you turned yourself over to divine consciousness before you tackled this problem. You turned yourself over to divine consciousness, and then when you wanted to live not inside a form, divine consciousness said, I will do this for you.